Talking about Lamar Jackson's contract situation and more with a very special guest coming up next here on Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Of course, we're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube. And we're back, rounding out a very busy week for the Ravens here on Purple Friday with our Purple Friday guest, as usual, former Baltimore Ravens wide receiver and Super Bowl champion, Kadri Ismail. Q, what a week. I mean, just headlines all around, storylines all around. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I am so happy that we have concluded a mini camp, an OTA, official, mandatory, and it's in the rearview mirror, because now we can talk about it on Locked On Ravens, but then we also are looking forward to the next step, which is actually training camp and getting into the season.
Yeah, and as I've been saying, we're like checking off the boxes, like rookie mini camp, then OTAs, and now mini camp done. Next is training camp, and we're inching closer and closer. But Q, I know a situation that has been very heavily monitored, and I guess was, now we're using past tense here, was the situation of Derek Wolfe and just the mystery behind it. It really just felt so uncertain for a long time. Obviously, Wolfe, one of the better run defenders in the league in 2020, missed all 2021. Multiple hip surgeries for Derek Wolfe, and it was announced by John Harbaugh that the team reached an injury settlement with Derek Wolfe. And we talked about it, Q. We talked about a situation, and you said, you know, let's figure out the bear part of this whole thing, and then we can go from there. Were you expecting some kind of injury settlement here? Because if the Ravens didn't come to this, the only way they could have saved money was by trading him. They wanted to save money by releasing him. I mean, how, I guess, surprised or shocked or even not shocked were you that this injury settlement came here?
Honestly, I wasn't shocked. I think anytime you're talking about trading a guy, that guy got to be a willing participant. We know that John Harbaugh, you know, has a track record of accommodating people. In other words, hey, man, if you don't want to be here, we don't want you here. And then Eric DaCosta is really good at making it work for the Ravens. I think the injury settlement, now you don't even have to worry about his health or whether or not it's going to be a valid trade or whatever the nuances of that. I think this was the best, you know, decision for all parties. Come to a resolution where you get an injury settlement, you feel good about it. Derek Wolfe is going to feel good about it, and off he goes. He obviously had some issues with his hip. That has been a concern, you know, all of last year. Clearly, it wasn't fully healed, and for him to go in for another surgery, I think that bear, 300 pounds of it, that's a lot to be carrying around out there in the woods, had to go under the knife, and yeah, we're talking about the bear.
It all comes back to the bear. And I know, I think Derek Wolfe said in the comments of that picture that the hip surgery was scheduled a couple, like even before the bear. So he had known about it. So again, it's just a ton of mystery that honestly, I still don't understand all of it. But now with Wolfe gone, Q, the Ravens defensive line, I think obviously could have used a player like him. But again, if he wasn't going to play, he wasn't going to play. Their depth, I think they've done a great job though at building that over the course of the offseason, bringing back Calais Campbell, bringing in guys like Michael Pierce and Brent Urban, Travis Jones through the draft. How confident are you in that group now, minus Derek Wolfe?
Yeah, I mean, the names that you just mentioned, those guys are legit. I think that, you know, you always want to get guys ready to go in camp, but you know you got a good mix of veterans who, you know, they know how to play. Brent Urban is a former Raven who understands the details and nuances of the expectations around playing and playing well. So I don't think it's I think it's a big deal. Yes. I don't think it's as big of a deal when it comes down to the fact that the guys that you've replaced in that room are really good players. And I'm looking forward to seeing the young guy in Jones and what he can do. You know, he was an every down player and he took multiple snaps. So it's going to be interesting. He is a guy where he was taking 70 snaps. Now, if you get 30, 40, What is he going to do with all that freshness that he'll have? I'm excited about what the Ravens look like. And of course, Calais Campbell being the elder statesman in the room. The elder statesman role is one of mentorship. It's one of showing guys how to be a pro. Derek Wolfe is going to be missed, but you know, at the same time, the king is dead. Long live the king. I think they have what they need in that room. And of course, Eric DaCosta is always going to be on the lookout. But for right now, I know as far as from the outside looking in, you know, I'm pleased with what they have.
Yeah, I know, Q, we talked about Jason Pierre-Paul last week and kind of what he would bring to the table. Maybe it makes a little more sense now that they might have been looking at a player who can play both standing up on the outside, but also can shift inside and play a bit of defensive line, depending on how they feel about that group. But I feel confident in them. And Q, you mentioned some young guys, two third-year players in Justin Madubuike and Roger Washington. Both, I think, will have elevated roles this season. What's your excitement level for them?
Well, big time. I think Madubuike, like, okay, like now or never. You know, game slowed down for you. You feeling good? New coordinator, you know, new position coach. I think that, you know, there's the word new. But then there's also, okay, what have you learned that you can take into your game that's going to translate on to the field of staying on the field? There were some little details there that, you know, you get to see. When you go through your off season, you look at what you did the year before, and now it's about the improvement. I know he talked about, you know, seeing how he can improve upon the art of pass rush, and he might seek out a guy. Hopefully he did, and hopefully it'll translate over into him being a better player.
Yeah, and I think also when you're talking about these young guys, it's going to be huge for Calais Campbell to be able to maybe rest a little bit more than he did in 2021. I know a lot of people were talking about in 2021 before that year. Well, if Calais Campbell can stay fresh and, you know, not play necessarily all the snaps in the world, you know, by the time December hits in January, maybe even February, he'll be fresh and ready to go. But he played the most snaps out of that defensive line group by a mile in 2021. So I think the young guys are going to help a ton. Q, where would you like to see Campbell play in terms of his snap count? Is this a player that you'd like to see around 70% of snaps, maybe taking 50%? What's a good baseline for Campbell for you to make sure that he's still getting playing time and making an impact, but also getting rest and enough rest to be able to contribute the whole season?
You know, it's hard to say from a snap count standpoint. I would say more situationally. What's the season like as far as some of the situations that we're facing? Are we doing a great job with stuffing a run? Can I, you know, kind of save him and use him, you know, later on? I think those are things that I would look at because ultimately, you know, the long haul is what you want from a player that has played that long in the league. And, you know, those veteran minutes, if you will. You know, they come at a critical price because, you know, three or four plays is all you need for, you know, him to make a game changing, you know, scenario for your defense. And I think that's one of the things that made, you know, veterans like an Elvis Dumervil so incredibly valuable. It wasn't that he played an awful lot. It's like when he played, he made his presence felt. That's the same for Calais Campbell. When he plays, let his presence be felt.
He's a player that is very, very hard to single team just based off his sheer size and his ability. And now you have like these giants like Calais Campbell, 6'8", Brent Urban is 6'7". Like there are these massive dudes on the Ravens defensive line that I think it's going to be hard for teams to single block them at all times. So you have to commit to a guy. And then once you do, that leaves one-on-one situations for pass rushers, you know, maybe interior guys, also outside linebackers, Dafe Owe, Daylon Hayes, we'll talk about in the final segment. So I'm still very confident in the Ravens defensive line, even though Wolf is no longer a part of the team. And I think, again, a very nice balance of both young guys and veterans that can contribute in 2022. But we'll head into our first break here on Locked On Ravens. Still a ton to talk about when we get back. We'll be diving into the Lamar Jackson contract situation and some of the comments he had to say to the media on Thursday. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a ton to talk about here. First, though, I do want to tell you a bit about BetOnline and BetOnline.net is number one source for all your sports betting stats and sports info. Find out the latest sports developments, news, and odds including this year's basketball championship matchup with the Warriors and the Celtics, the Hockey and Stanley Cup Finals. You have Major League Baseball, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC to boxing as well. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. As the website today, use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're back here. Our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Kadri Ismail. Again, thank you for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day. But Q, there was a lot of conversation surrounding Lamar Jackson and his contract situation yesterday, and that's been a big topic for a very long time. But Jackson spoke to the media for the first time in a very long time yesterday and was asked maybe just one or two questions about his contract. Not too many. No, it was, if I counted right on the Ravens transcripts, I believe it was 12 total questions about his contract. Everything ranging from, does he envision staying in Baltimore for the rest of his career, to are you looking at the other contract? So Q, let's start off with if he envisions staying in Baltimore, because he was asked that question and he said he expects to. And I know, you know, this is not something I think Lamar Jackson would just say to say. I think that he does truly expect. I wouldn't expect him to like lie about that or anything. But again, you never really know. But what does it say to you that you've actually now heard it come out of his mouth and that it's coming from Lamar Jackson himself?
Yeah, I think the bottom line comes down to it is the one side has been really adamant about having you and signing you and all those things. Where else do you want to go? Like, you know, this sounds like, you know, much to do about nothing when it comes to reading in between the lines. He overtly said, hey, I want to be here in Baltimore for you and I, Kevin. I mean, that's great news. I think that, you know, he's a franchise quarterback and a guy that really can win ball games for you. So why would we look at Lamar going somewhere else, or why would he say he's going somewhere else? They've retooled their entire offense and what they do to fit his skill set. I'm going where I'm loved. Lamar Jackson knows that he is loved here in Baltimore.
He absolutely is loved. And I know there can be arguments for, hey, the Ravens should go out and get him a star wide receiver. They should go out and get him more weapons, which, yes, you know, there is a valid argument for that. But we know, Q, this Ravens offense is a run first team. So how much is a star wide receiver who's getting paid $25 million, for example, DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, some of those guys, you know, how much would a wide receiver return value? I think it added another dynamic to the offense, but there are multiple things to weigh. But at the end of the day, there has been mutual interest for a very long time publicly between Jackson and between the Ravens, both saying, yeah, we want Lamar here. And Lamar obviously saying this, that he expects to stay in Baltimore. But Q, Lamar also did talk a bit about, he was asked if he should buy into the notion, or if he buys into the notion that he shouldn't step on the field without a contract. And he said he doesn't buy into it all. He plays football, and that's what he's here for. And if he feels worthy of a contract extension to play, despite not yet winning the Super Bowl, he says, yes, I think so. I still want my Super Bowl, though, but I think I'm worthy of it. Yes, sir, I do. And this is – it's almost like a little bit of a change up based off of what people had been, I guess, hearing slash assuming in some of these situations, where part of the notion was, you know, Lamar Jackson is betting on himself because of the, I guess, subpar end of the 2021 season he had. And I think it might have been Calais Campbell. I'm not sure, though. Don't quote me. But I think Calais Campbell went on a show and said that, you know, he wants to prove himself more and more. But it feels like with these comments, Q, does it feel like Lamar Jackson might be a bit more ready to sign than previously thought by many?
I believe Steve Bisciotti was also one of those people that was saying that, you know, Lamar wanted to prove himself and win a Super Bowl and all that as well. So that's an interesting dynamic, because for Lamar, you know, he just, hey, listen, I've more than proven myself as far as contract. Yeah, I won a Super Bowl, but yeah, I'm deserving of a fat contract like the other guys that are upper tier quarterbacks in the football league. And I think that's where, you know, for Lamar, the question and the quest of having an agent comes into play. He doesn't. He represents himself. Kudos to him for you know, being cutting edge in that regard. But this is part of it, trying to, you know, again, decipher. And good for him that he didn't necessarily, you know, he was clear. Look, I know I want to be here in Baltimore, but I think he was also clear of feeling like, hey, man, I know from an organizational standpoint, I'm deserving of a contract, and it has nothing to do with me winning a Super Bowl. although that is priority number one, me winning a Super Bowl. Let's not get it twisted. Two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, and obviously I think we both know what winning a Super Bowl would do for that contract if you weren't to sign before. Then we saw it with Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. That if Lamar Jackson wins a Super Bowl without signing that new deal, that money's going up by tens of millions of dollars. So again, you know, it could be a little of both, but Jackson did say, you know, when he was asked about if he would prefer to have a contract done before the end of the year, you know, that he said a lot of, you know, that's a conversation, we're in conversations, and it almost became like the new I'm just here so I won't get fined, because he was getting asked a lot of questions about it. But Q, it seems like, or at least what the, I guess, assumption has been, is that there likely wouldn't be a deal done before this season. An in-season extension seems pretty unlikely. That's kind of the notion. But now that these comments and Lamar Jackson was asked these questions, he's provided his answers, is there any inkling to you that potentially with a bit of pushing, a deal could get done? Or do you still maybe think that with everything, it's probably more likely to happen like next offseason or maybe even the offseason after that?
Yeah, I don't know what the Ravens are saying. I think, you know, what I do know is kind of the thought and feeling that we got from, you know, Steve Bisciotti. I mean, ultimately he's the one that's going to be signing off on the deal. I mean, Eric will put the framework of it together. Clearly Lamar, his side of it will come together, sign it. But he has to sign off on like, all right, here's what we're doing as an organization. Cool. Give it to him. Give him the money, whatever it might be, 300, 400, 500 million. I think for Lamar, again, the more he wins, the better leverage he has. I think for the team, yeah, they would love the fact that, you know, they're in a, oh, darn, tough position. We just won the Super Bowl. those are good problems to have, I think, for both Lamar and for the Ravens. And I'm hoping, rooting for Lamar to be able to be that guy that can go out there and yeah, bet on himself, if you will, a la Joe Flacco. And the team has shown that they're no joke when it comes to making these deals. So go ahead, knock yourself out. Let's get it done.
Yeah, and I would not blame Lamar Jackson one bit if he is betting on himself. I know he did say in the press conference he wasn't, but if that was his mindset, it is a smart mindset to have. But I also wouldn't blame him and think it's smart if he would want to get a deal done before the year just to lock in that money, secure it, because we all know, regardless of if it happens tomorrow, if it happens 10 weeks from now or half a year from now, it's going to be a lot of money, you know, probably most likely very upwards of the 40 plus million per dollar range. So he's going to make that money regardless, but it's a matter of kind of when both sides want to get it done. But Q, Lamar Jackson also talked a bit about what he was asked about if he kind of looks at the deals for other quarterbacks. Like he was asked about Deshaun Watson, for example, and if that contract affected his thoughts about a future and, you know, what the acceptable contract for him would be. And he said nothing at all. He doesn't worry about what those guys get. Do you feel like that is completely what he means? I mean, I feel like with each contract extension that we have seen, with each big money contract, if not anything else, Lamar Jackson's market goes up solely because of that, whether he does worry about it or not.
I think his comment was one of interesting, because on one swoop, you do worry about what others make in this league, because they then, you know, set the standard. You know, your franchise tag is based upon what, the top five or top three deals in the league, the average. And so you do want guys to shoot. When Patrick Mahomes got his deal, guys like, yes. When Josh Allen, yes. When obviously Deshaun Watson, people were like, really?
Yes.
It changed the landscape. Look at the receivers and what they've been making. Their whole flow of what used to be compared to now, I mean, it totally changed the market. It totally changed what, you know, teams are going to think about doing and paying guys. And, you know, so my point is that that's one element of it all. What was Lamar possibly thinking when it came to, hey, listen, I know you can be in a position where I don't necessarily want to be compared to Deshaun Watson or think that, you know, I need to figure out what other guys or other teams are doing. I do know from a money numbers standpoint, structure, fully guaranteed, monies, yeah, those other contract structures, they indeed matter.
Yeah, I think they do also. And we know that Lamar Jackson's in grind mode a lot. So maybe, he's not thinking about it actively and these things happen and he's like, oh, cool, like awesome. But again, he's not like necessarily overly concerned or worried about it because, again, I don't think he'd just get up on the podium and just lie about something like that. It's just not who he is. So I think that while he could be necessarily like pushing it like back in his mind and saying like, oh, you know what? That's awesome. I'll think about it a bit later. I think that that's something that could be going on. And Lamar Jackson also did talk about the fact that, again, his absence from OTAs was not contractually motivated. And I think that's something that a lot of people did assume, but he did mention the fact that he stayed home and did not attend voluntary workouts was the fact that he wanted to stay away and grind and actually did text his teammates and asked them and said, hey, is it okay if this happens? And they said it was cool. So it was good to see that actually come out in Lamar Jackson kind of clarify the whole voluntary OTA absence. I know it was a massively big storyline, but so is the contract. Again, that's like the next step with Lamar Jackson in terms of the organization, in terms of Jackson himself. He does say he expects to stay in Baltimore, which I think was a point that was unfortunately kind of like swept under the rug a little bit because of all the questions he was asked and all the answers he provided. But I think that, I'm taking that away from it. It's the fact that he says he does expect to stay in Baltimore. You never know. But at the same time, I think that's a very, very good vote of confidence. And whatever he does make, Lamar Jackson is going to deserve every single penny of that deal. We'll head into our final break here on Locked On Ravens. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a ton to talk about on Locked On Ravens. First of all, I do want to tell you a bit about Rock Auto. And with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. And sometimes there'll be intimidating questioning or even pointless questioning. And you got to wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts from their computer and choose the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. Or not even lose access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. And why choose Rock Auto is because you can save time and money. They also are a family business. They serve do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are super, super low. So go to rockauto.com right now. See other parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On there. How'd you hear about us? Box and know we sent you. Amazing selection of reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. We're back here. Our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Olszewski, your host, still here with Kadri Ismail. In Q, there was plenty of standouts from minicamp over the course of the 3 days. And I think that when looking at them, one that stood out on the final day in a bit over the first couple of days as well, both rookie tight ends, Charlie Kohler and Isaiah Likely, two guys who I know we've talked about here before. And Q, what's your excitement level for these guys? Because it feels like both of them could have decently big roles on this offense, despite the team already having Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle.
One thing, you listen to the guys talk, and every time they've mentioned those two guys, they're impressed with their ability to get down the field and make big plays. We saw that with Likely. I guess he was having a couple of touchdown catches and even a one-hander. Obviously, Kohler, the way he was running and moving, the feeling of, wow, that guy looks strong. That guy looks – he looks the part. And so I think for this group and what we know about Bully Ball and what the 2019 season looked like, all I know is – the more the merrier. And if you got talent and clearly they feel that they do, then this is something that you want to have happen. You want this to come into play. What I mean by come into play, you basically want to have two guys that are going to, help out an all pro guy. Nick Boyle is trying to, he's the veteran, but I think the young, fresh legs, the speed of flow for which in which they go about their business into the passing game. We got to see what it looks like as far as the running game is concerned, their physicality, but so far so good. I'm appreciative of the fact that Eric DaCosta saw the bigger picture and was able to pick up two talented young tight ends.
Yeah, with this tight end room, one of the best, if not the best in the NFL, with just the pure depth, the pure talent, with every spot in the top four there. And even you can include Josh Oliver in that conversation for now, since he is still on the roster. And again, we don't really know what the future holds for some of these lower guys on the depth chart, but I think they're keeping four tight ends. And that would, of course, be the Mark Andrews, Nick Boyle, Isaiah Likely, Charlie Kohler. But Q, on defense, a player who stood out was Dalen Hayes. And, so much came out about him making plays. And he's someone who his rookie year was very marred by injury, didn't really get to play a ton. But now there's a bit of uncertainty with the depth at outside linebacker. You know, Tyus Bowser, David Ajabo both coming off of those Achilles injuries. When will they be back? We don't really know. So what kind of role could Dalen Hayes play this year?
For him, it's two things. Special teams dominance, and then knowing the defense and multiple positions on the defense. The more you can do, you know, Bowser and the way his rehab is going, he's going to be back out there. You're fighting for your roster spot. Again, you talked about the tight ends. Well, if Oliver is crushing it on special teams, and then all of a sudden you look at what he's doing at the tight end spot through training camp, that's going to be where you got to say to yourself, look, I need to be better. I know that I am coming into my own. How do I grow off of the performance that I just now had? John Harbaugh is famous for saying that, look, it's not about where you're at. It's where you're going to be. You can't stay the same in this league and expect to remain on the team and in the league. You have got to constantly improve. I can't stress that enough. He has got to constantly improve and build upon what we saw this mandatory OTA.
Yeah, and it is great because it feels like he is on that upward trajectory now. And the potential that he had coming out of Notre Dame, I think that Saints game where he had that like dip under move in the preseason, a lot of people saw that and they're like, oh, okay, who is this guy? Like, this guy looks like he can be the part. But then the injuries happen, and now again making plays already throughout mandatory minicamp. So I'm excited to see what he can bring. But Q, in the secondary, there's a lot of excitement surrounding the rookies. In guys like Kyle Hamilton, who made some plays, Pepe Williams, who's becoming a fan favorite pretty quickly here in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then also Jalen Amore Davis. It just feels like these guys can provide, whether it is a lot of snaps and a lot of quality play, such as I believe Kyle Hamilton will, based off of where he was picked in his talent level, or just really quality depth, such as Amore Davis or Pepe Williams. How excited are you for those guys to get on the field?
If we look at the landscape of the division, there are some quality receivers out there. There are going to be some passing attacks. Clearly, Joe Burrow and company, they made a living and feasted off of what we saw with the Ravens-Bengals matchups this past year. So, yeah, you need all the depth you can. I hope Pepe, you know, he can carry it over. He can carry it over into the regular season. I hope that, you know, whether it be Marlon coming back and feeling healthy, cool. Marcus Peters, hey, great. You know, but the young guys, Kyle and the way he plays, Marcus, hey, all you guys, you need all of them, because I think the quality of the receiving core in the AFC North as well as across the AFC, it's high. And you can't take it for granted. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it actually comes about when the roster is finally formed. I think that John Harbaugh is going to have some really cool decisions, tough decisions. But for the most part, I think the competition is really good to you know, go into this season with.
Yeah, and it is a very good problem to have when you have built up so much depth at so many positions. Again, I feel like maybe they could add a veteran wide receiver, a veteran pass rusher, but other than that, they are very deep at most, if not all, those other positions. And so I've said it before, but based off of this time last year versus this time this year, I feel a lot more confident right now than I did last year based off of how much pure depth they have at corner and it's safety as well. And we, over the past couple of years, it has been the Ravens start the year with 50 million corners, end it with two, but hopefully they can shake that injury bug and the injury gods will bless them this year with plenty of good health. But Q, that's all I have here today. Thanks so much for hopping on, talking about really a whirlwind of a week here for the Ravens. And who knows, maybe they'll make a signing or do something. We'll have even more to talk about next week here.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Again, the countdown starts now. We're inside 100 days, so let's get it on.
Yeah, I'm excited. And we're checking off those boxes. Next is training camp. Then we got the preseason. And then before we know it, I think it'll be here in the 2022 regular season. But thanks again, Q. That's all I have here today on Locked On Ravens. When we get back on Monday after our 2-day break, we'll be diving into more Ravens content. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And I will see you on Monday.